This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Richard Allen going to be having his trial if everything goes as planned. May 13th, jury selection set to begin. Originally, it was set for October 15th, but that speedy trial demand came into play, and Judge Gull had no choice but to honor it. So here we go. We are going to see the Delphi murder trial take place in just a few months. Joining us to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. It's an interesting one. We've certainly been talking about it for more than a year. I'm going to guess one of the big points that the prosecution is going to be trying to make in court, with lack of other evidence, is that he confessed. He told his mom, he told his wife that he had something to do with it. But let's talk about that a little bit. False confessions, if in fact it is a false confession. Are they common place? And who are they common to if they do confess? Is it to a family or is it more so to a member of law enforcement?
You know, I have to say, I don't know everything. And I haven't studied every case where there's been a false confession. Mm-hmm. But the ones that I'm aware of have occurred after a grueling interview, mm-hmm. you know, where somebody has been held for 12 hours or 24 hours, the spotlight's on them, the police or people interviewing them, detectives have been aggressive. And the person becomes worn down, and often they're given some kind of promise that, you know, if you just confess, this is going to go easier on you. You know, we can get you out of here faster. So there's a lot of coercion involved by law enforcement. I can't say that I have ever heard of a case where there was a false confession, where the person just spontaneously told a wife several times, yeah, I did this, you know? So is it possible that that wasn't true? I guess anything's possible, but it would be odd.
What I want to hear is the actual audio of that phone call. I think that would be very telling. What would jurors need to be looking for in that audio if, in fact, it does get played in court to determine, you know, just how legit this confession is or isn't?
Yeah. What I would be looking for, does he sound clear, cogent, grounded in reality, and logical? You know, does it fit the conversation? Because if it didn't, if it came out bizarre, like we're talking about, you know, the weather or politics, or, you know, I don't know, imagine that they would be talking about that. But sure. If they were talking about something completely unrelated, and then he just popped up with, oh, by the way, I did kill the girls. Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be weird. And I would think maybe this person is not in their right mind. Maybe they are hallucinating mm-hmm. and delusional. But if they seem to be cogent, grounded in reality, having a normal conversation, what we would expect under those circumstances, and if the wife had said, you know, by the way, did you do this? I'm really worried about this. And if the person responded with, yes, I did. That would carry a lot of weight. But yeah, I think you're right. If we could hear the conversation, it would give us a much better sense of what was going on.
Mental health is likely going to play a role in this. Nick McClelland, the prosecutor, filed a motion to withdraw his most recent request for Richard Allen's mental health records, mainly because he was getting them under a way he shouldn't be getting them. There's no reason he should have had access to those. So very quickly trying to walk that back. But I imagine it's going to be something that that is brought up when it comes to these confessions and the state that he is in. I mean, we've heard many stories, horror stories already, not only just from other inmates that have witnessed the treatment of Richard Allen, but from attorneys who have gone in and tried to just have their conversations with their client to help them prepare for their own defense, and talking about just how brutal and nearly impossible it has been to put that together, to do and have the right to do what Richard Allen has the right to prepare for his own defense. Do you think we're going to see anything in terms of any of the guards being questioned about anything of that nature? Obviously, after the fact of these murders taking place, of what may have been going on behind those barbed wires and those walls that may have led to Richard Allen giving a confession to his family.
Right. That certainly needs to be explored and looked at. What other possible forms of coercion could have been going on. Mm-hmm. And as far as the mental health, as I understand it, if the defense does not raise that issue in any way as part of the defense, mm-hmm. then it can't be opened up by the prosecution. But if the defense opens it up, then the prosecution has a right to all that information. And so we don't know yet exactly what's going to come up. You know, the one thing about the murders, I don't think that you and I have talked about, that's interesting to me, is that this information that came out about the bizarre staging of, you know, the crime scene, the way that one girl's clothing was put on the other girl. I mean, just weird. It really strikes me, if I had to say, what would I see as a profile of a killer that left a crime scene like this? Somebody that was hallucinating, you know, because it is so strange and bizarre. It struck me, certainly not as a cult killing, mm-hmm. and certainly not as an Odinist cult killing, but someone that was having weird delusional beliefs. And there is a category of murderer, particularly sometimes serial killers, who are psychotic, and they do these weird kinds of staging, you know, mm-hmm. because it's part of this convoluted, strange delusional belief system that they have. And so if I were looking at a person who was charged with this crime, looking at their mental health issues, it would be very relevant to me, do they have evidence of psychotic thinking? Mm-hmm. And that, of course, makes me wonder about him in this case.
Yeah, it's another question that certainly needs to be answered. What happened? Why were these girls left the way that they were?
Yes.
Because we can go down to, you know, insane fairy tale land of, you know, cult ritualistic killing, which may be not so insane. I don't know. I guess time will tell. But yeah, there's so many aspects to this that just don't really add up.
Yeah.
That you know, I mean, as crazy as one would have to be to go murder two little girls, it's like a level beyond that.
It is a level beyond. And when you see a crime scene where it is truly bizarre, mm-hmm. You know, way out of what we would see, you know, in a typical case like this of a murder, which is usually a sexually motivated crime. There may be some evidence of a fantasy, but this is beyond. You're right. A good way to put it. That makes me think psychotic. Yeah. And there's meaning in all this weird stuff that was done, but only to that person. Mm-hmm. And they were having these bizarre delusional beliefs. So that's what, you know, I would be looking for. Who is the person most likely to be having some psychotic stuff going on? So
it'll be very interesting to watch as we get closer and closer.
Mm-hmm. Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.